You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Footer, and I am here with Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. And Steve, you have been perhaps the busiest of anybody, and I know that this came out of nowhere just for everybody, including you. So, of course, we are going to talk about Zach Greinke. First of all, let's talk about the contract, the amount of years, and the money, and what that means for the Diamondbacks organization moving forward.
Sure, Allison. We're talking about a six-year deal, $206.5 million. And if you had Zach Greinke in the pool going to the Diamondbacks when this free agent thing started this offseason, probably win some big money in Vegas. But, it all came together in a short period of time. We talked to Tony La Russa, who said he showed up for work last Friday thinking it was just going to be a regular day at the office. He was sitting in a staff meeting with Chip Hale and his coaches, and he got a phone call from managing general partner Ken Kendrick, who said, hey, look, if we're serious about Greinke, here's an offer that we can make. Here's the amount of money that will get his attention, I think, and here's the term that we can offer him. And La Russa said he was completely caught off guard. Immediately placed a call to Casey Close, who's Greinke's agent, because at that time, you know, Greinke was down to two teams, it appeared, the Giants and the Dodgers, with the Dodgers looking like they were, feeling like they were really close to having a deal. And Tony said, hey, would you guys still be open to listening? And Casey said, yeah, he would listen to an offer from the Diamondbacks. And so then Derek Hall called back and made the Diamondbacks presentation. And, you know, but before that evening came about, he was a Diamondback. I mean, he agreed. I mean, it was literally a span of maybe 6 hours that kind of transpired there before it all came together.
So before this all happens, where Kendrick calls and says, hey, you know, we might be able to do this, did the Diamondbacks have discussions, like with Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa, where did it go beyond something like, oh, wouldn't this be neat, but clearly we're not going to be in this? I mean,
I think that's probably, you know, I don't know for sure, but I think that's probably where it was. They flew down to make an offer to Johnny Cueto early in the process. They offered him 6 years, $120 million, and they were kind of hoping that maybe they could get ahead of the market that way and get him at a decent rate. And when he turned that down, Tony said he had an inkling that there was some money there, that maybe they could come up with some more money. Obviously didn't think that there was going to be enough for a Greinke type deal, but they've been putting money away. And Tony always used to say, when he made these trades since taking over in 2014, whenever they would save money, he'd say, this money is going into a bucket to be used later. And nobody knew just how big that bucket was, but it's probably as big as this hotel that we're sitting in, because that's a lot of money. But they had that money to spend, and they have a new TV deal taking effect, so they feel like they can fit him into the budget.
I mean, we really were talking, even just a week ago, we said, because I was asking you, you know, a year ago, we were thinking, oh my gosh, the Diamondbacks have a little bit of an uphill battle here. But now we were talking about how they're in such a great position where they have the most financial flexibility. They have players that they can use as trade chips. They don't have a lot of payroll obligations.
Until now,
yes. So I want to ask you two questions about that. One, and of course you're not going to get anyone from the Diamondbacks to say this, but they just stole a pitcher from their two biggest rivals, the only two teams that really people are talking about in September from the NL West every single year. So how much of a feather in their cap is this from just that kind of standpoint?
I'm sure, because not only are the Diamondbacks that much better for having Zach Greinke, but the Dodgers are that much worse for losing him at the top of their rotation, or I guess with Kershaw near the top of their rotation. But really, I mean, that weakens the Dodgers, it strengthens the Diamondbacks. It certainly hurts the Giants, who are thinking they could get Greinke. And now the Dodgers are kind of falling back on plan B, C, or D with Irukuma and whoever else they might get. So it's kind of a two-for-one or three-for-one in that sense, because it helps them, hurts their two division rivals. So that's certainly a part of it, although you're right, they won't say that, but I'm sure that's part of it. So the Dodgers ended up with the D-backs hitting coach and Turner Ward, and the Diamondbacks ended up with Zach Greinke. So
the Diamondbacks are invading someone's pool party, and I don't expect you to expand on that. Okay, so
let's
now
not start that whole pool party thing again.
Of course not.
Let's
we'll
not
move on from that.
Okay.
You said that there's a lot of money coming in from their TV contract, and I get that. This is basically, now we're down to $1 million a start that they're going to be paying him. In another couple of years, are we going to be talking about how the Diamondbacks don't maybe they don't have as much flexibility and maybe they have to cut some corners here and there. I mean, could this, you know, looking down the road, could this be problematic for them in any way?
I think that, and this is an interesting way, and Tony's kind of said this, they have the money to spend like that. They don't have the money to spend and be wrong about that.
Right.
So if Greinke continues to produce, they can probably afford that. If he gets hurt, if he doesn't produce, that's a mistake that it's hard for a team in that market to kind of make up for 34.4 or whatever his average annual value is. So some of that money's deferred, but that's the, so they don't really necessarily have margin for error if this doesn't work. If it works, then the whole payroll situation might work. It's worth noting that one of the reasons they're able to do this is that Paul Goldschmidt signed an extension 2 years ago for a total of $32 million.
Wow.
So he will make over the next few years what Zach Greinke is going to make this year.
You know, teams have the money to spend, and they're spending it, so that's good for everyone. Okay, so now let's get away from the money part, and let's just look at the team itself, because I don't know that the Diamondbacks are really getting enough credit for just what they are starting to form a pretty nice little nucleus here. And let's the pitching rotation. So this is the Diamondbacks' way of really becoming legitimate contenders. I mean, I think that they won a couple more games than maybe we thought they were going to this past season. They had a really bad season the year before. So now we're talking, how does that rotation look to you now?
Well, I mean, ideally they would add one more starting pitcher to it, another maybe guy they can count on for innings. Do they have the money to do that? I don't know. When they go out in trades, everyone wants to ask about A.J. Pollock, and he was fourth among NL position players in Baseball Reference's WAR stat, for whatever that's worth. But so he's a very good player, and he's under cost control in a sense. He's arbitration eligible the next 3 years. They don't want to part with him. They don't have a ton of money now left after the Greinke thing, so they have to get creative and find a way, maybe trade one of their infielders to try to add to pitching. But I think ideally they'd like to add one more pitcher to that rotation. Their everyday lineup they really feel good about, defensively and offensively both. Their bullpen, you know, they feel good about Brad Ziegler at the back end of it. 30 saves, 32 chances last year. He's done a nice job two of the last 3 years when he's had that role. So maybe they add a middle relief arm, but they have some young arms, young arms that throw hard down on the farm. So we'll see. But I think ideally, yeah, they'd like to add one more starter. But right now it probably lays out as Greinke, Patrick Corbin, Ruby De La Rosa, Robbie Ray, and then a whole host of whether it's Archie Bradley and Chase Anderson and a bunch of other young pitchers that they have kind of coming up through the system.
And one of the drawbacks is the Diamondbacks are going to lose their first round pick.
13th overall.
So how much can that hurt? Are they concerned about that at all? I mean, when you're talking about an organization, especially with the premium that you place on young talent now,
right,
that is a little bit of a tough pill to swallow.
It was, but I think it would have been protective if it had been much higher. But I think they felt like they had the number one overall pick last year. They got Dansby Swanson, a shortstop who's coming quickly through the system. They've got Braden Shipley and Aaron Blair, a couple of pitchers that are almost ready, if not ready. So I think they felt like this was the right, if there was a year to miss out on a number one pick, Greinke was the pitcher, and this was the year to do it.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Always my pleasure, Allison.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.